On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
College football analyst, former coach, hey, Tommy Tass of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
What's up, coach?
Yeah, good morning. Good morning to both of you.
Yeah, good morning to you. You know, when you look at this Clemson team, which we saw on display last night, coach, what is there any concern when you look at this team?
You know, it would have to be possibly, I'm just saying possibly because this is the area they've recruited the best, would be depth on the defensive line. And they've recruited, and I should say experience. They replaced some great players, but that's the hardest position to recruit, and that's where they've had the most success recently. So they've got good young talent. But offensively, I think three out of four wideouts are potential first-rounders. Running backs might be the best in the country. Quarterback Heisman Trophy winner. Four seniors on the offensive line. You know, I think it's just going to be complacency and mental issues other than physical.
Well, Coach, it's all about running back. Travis Etienne, I mean, you know, you look on all these different Heisman watch lists for 2019. You know, his name's on there, but not at the tippy top. You know, you've seen a lot of the quarterbacks, you know. But I got to tell you, Coach, I mean, I think this kid might be. I'd love to get your take and your expertise. I mean, is he a front runner right now? Just watch the way he plays. And I know it's a young Georgia Tech team, but I mean, I'll tell you what, this kid, the year he had last year into this year, what he could potentially do. Do you feel like Travis Etienne could be the Heisman Trophy winner?
Oh, there's no doubt. Unfortunately, he plays on the team with the winner, Trevor Lawrence.
That's funny.
That's the only thing that's going to hurt him. And like you said, a true freshman coming in last year, they went on that run, won the national championship. He was overshadowed, I think, by Trevor Lawrence. But, gosh, I think he averaged 8 yards a carry. You saw what he did last night. He's strength, he's got power, he's got speed. So, yeah, he could be the best overlooked guy. But I think with what he did last night, national TV, Thursday night, it's going to give him a great boost. Mm. But he's going to have to fight his teammate.
Tommy, who's the second best team in the ACC?
Yeah, take a dice and throw them out there. Man, that's the difficult thing for Clemson. I say not difficult for Clemson. There's not a second. You could just really throw them all in a hat. Syracuse 2 years ago beat Clemson, has played them really well. 3 years ago Pitt beat them, but I don't see either of those doing that again. Miami's got a freshman quarterback. It's just you'd have to say Miami, but I just say them because of history and tradition more than anything else. Florida State, so many unanswered questions. They should be, but they call the Coastal the chaotic Coastal.
Yeah.
But it really is.
Coach, you mentioned the quarterback for Clemson, Trevor Lawrence, a moment ago. What were your thoughts and impressions after his first game last night? He had two INTs. We played good, though. He showed his athleticism, run the ball, too. You know, what's your thoughts? Break him down, man, Trevor Lawrence, what you thought of him.
Well, you know, if you saw the first pick, I was sitting there watching that. The defensive back, they had a quick out call. The defensive back showed him press man, and he bailed. And he bailed with his belly button to the ball. The defensive back, I mean, bailed. He started turning right before the snap. So he had his belly button, his eyes to the ball, and he saw the quick drop, the release. So he had a great chance to break on. The other was trying to make a big play right before the half. You know, he threw it out there. And they played great on defense. So he probably won't do that again. But the performance was really well. You know, you got to remember, he's just a true sophomore. But he went out there, executed, managed the team. He's such a great leader. He's got all the intangibles, but I thought his performance was well. I don't know if it'd be an A+, but it would be an A-.
Yeah, I'm curious, Coach. You mentioned Syracuse. What about the job that Dino Babers has done up there with the Orange, rebuilding that program?
Yeah, I'm just surprised he's still there. I really think
good point.
10 winning season at Syracuse is really difficult to do. A lot of people are picking them as the second best team. You got Tommy DeVito, the quarterback, played some last year. And is a quality guy, but not like Eric Dungy, the guy that they lost. But he's done a great job. And like I said, I just don't think he'll be there very long. He's had success everywhere he's been. He's a really good offensive mind. He coaches with he's a tougher guy. A lot of those offensive guys, you know, kind of, you know they wear dresses every other day. This guy, He's a tough, hard-nosed guy, and I just think he'll be at another place pretty soon.
Yeah, it seems like an excellent motivator. And speaking of head coaches, I want to ask you, Coach, about Chip Kelly with UCLA. I mean, what's your thoughts on the program with him? You know, I know it's so early here, but and they played last night. But do you think that he can turn things around there for the Bruins?
I tell you, it's going to be hard, and the only salvation for him is a lot of the rest of the country don't follow the Big 12 that much.
Right, right.
You got one noisemaker out there right now, and that's Oregon. And other than that, Washington a couple of years ago, there's just not much noise and interest. And once you get east of the Mississippi, so that's his only salvation. But it's going to be more difficult, I think, than what he thought. And people are really coming after him because of his background and what he did at Oregon.
Right.
They did not look well last night. And I'd run my AD down and see why he scheduled Cincinnati at Cincinnati.
Mm, I know. That's tough. That's tough.
Coach, you know, with you know, when you look around the country, the job that Clemson has done, right, and Dabo's done down there with the Clemson Tigers, and now the number one team in the land, you know, have we – you know, Alabama has been that kind of, you know, staple, best program in the country. You know, did that national championship game change everything?
Well, I think it did. I think it put them on equal footing. You know, Clemson, I think, was chasing Alabama. I think now they've caught them. And right now they're a little bit ahead of them because they beat them last year. So they're very much on par. They've got an administration that's really financially met the challenge in facilities, in coaches' salaries. And they've got a guy there right now. It's just he's the whole bundle of wax. Completely different personality and mode of operation than Nick Saban, as far as the sideline mannerisms, how he handles the media, as you've noticed, and things like that. So, yes, I think he just hasn't done it as long as Nick Saban. But they are equal. They are on par, and might be a step ahead.
Coach, Jalen Hurts, as you know, he transferred, right, from Alabama to the Sooners, you know, and they just recently, Oklahoma named him a captain, which is great for this kid as a transfer, which, you know, that's kind of rare. You transfer in and then you become a captain right before you even play one down, real down for the team. Regardless, Moose and I talk glowing a lot of this kid. We think a lot of him, and we're hoping he does well. We both feel the same in this, that for Oklahoma. What do you think? Just give us some perception or expertise on Jalen Hurts and what he could do with that Oklahoma team.
Well, I think what you just mentioned is going to be awful important because if he does not have success early, the one of the first ones will go, you know, those wide receivers are running back, the offensive line, the defense sitting there moaning because you're not keeping the ball, keeping them off the field. The fact that he was elected captain, I think, is really going to get him over any initial hurdles he could have. Then you got to go with Lincoln Riley's success as a quarterback coach and how he handles those guys. Tremendous job mentally. So I think he's got those two ingredients in him that really should help Oklahoma not slip at all. But what you mentioned initially about his being elected as a captain is so important in case he has some early hurdles as a starter. I think he'll be able to overcome them.
You know, Coach, I'm curious, a program that obviously you know very, very well with what your dad accomplished, legendary, college football coach at Florida State. What do you think has happened to that Seminole program after the defection of Jimbo Fisher to A&M?
You know, I know that a lot's been written about he left the cupboard bare. You know, the cupboard's really not bare with Florida State playing in the ACC. They've got better players in Boston College, better players in Duke, better players in Wake Forest. You know, teams that are losing teams. Who they've gotten better players in. So it's not talent. And he started out so bad in that Virginia Tech game. I think he lost his team early. A lot of doubt and indecision. But they've got some huge strides to make. They were just not average on offense. They were terrible on offense. He's handed the reins over to a new guy, Kendall Briles. Again, you're dealing with young, fragile minds of these players, 18, 19 years old. If they don't have success early, in the season, they could again stall out. But he's got a very difficult job, Willie Taggart. He's really done a great job, including my father back in the program and getting him involved. But that'll help him to that 1 year. He's on his own this year.
Hey, Coach, as far as quarterbacks this year, you know, just to put you on the spot for a second, I mean, just who do you think? I mean, who's the best quarterback coming out this year, playing in the college football? Would it be Fromm? Would it be the Oregon quarterback, Herbert? Would it be Easton out of Washington, or Tua, Alabama, Trevor Lawrence? Who would if you had to pick a quarterback that is the guy, the best quarterback right now, who would it be?
I think Trevor Lawrence, because you mentioned all those guys, and some of them have a really good running skill. All of them got good throwing skills.
Right.
Some of them are a little more athletic, a little bit better in the pocket and throwing on the run. I think Trevor Lawrence is a combination of all those, plus size. You know, Fromm, I'm not sure his height. They might list him
6'2". He's about 6'2", I believe, yeah.
6'2". Trevor Lawrence, 6'5", maybe pushing 6'6", a big, thick guy, can take set in the pocket. Pros are going to force you to stay in the pocket and see over linemen. You know, he's got that in his favor. He's proven he can take the pressure. His mental toughness, got some of Deshaun Watson in him, I think, as far as maturity beyond his age. So I just think he is the complete package. Tua is a really good quarterback. He's very accurate, soft touch. His height might be a problem in the pocket in the NFL, so I just think Trevor Lawrence is the best. I think we're seeing a very unique guy in college football.
Biggest threat to Alabama and Clemson is who, Coach?
I think the biggest threat's going to come from the SEC. A 10-win LSU, you got a 10-win Georgia. I think those are going to be the two biggest threats. Even though you had a 10-win Florida and a 10-win Kentucky, I think they're behind Georgia and LSU as far as talent. So I think Georgia and LSU and Oklahoma would be the biggest threats.
You know, final one for you, Tommy, is this. You know, we saw Ryan Day step in last year at Ohio State and have a lot of success, right? And now we know that it is his program moving forward. But still, when he was coaching that team, it was still Urban Meyer's program. Now that it is his program, how difficult is it, you know, kind of that transition to where, you know, Meyer's no longer there, it's your show, it's your team, you're the head coach, and you've got to keep the brilliance going for Ohio State?
You know, when I became a head coach, I inherited 2 3-win teams. Clemson was coming off a 3-win season. Tulane was coming off a 3-win season. I was fortunate to have early success. The players got confidence. Now, Ohio State's different. They've had tremendous success. They've got good players. I think it's double important that he have success early. And so there's no doubt or indecision that he was the right guy to his players and to his fan base. So everything indicates that he is, but he hasn't had the whole shift and he hasn't faced adversity yet. And so I think it's more important for him to have early success in the season. And then to go, because everything's in place, tradition, history, money, players. He's got all everything else.
Hey, Coach, we appreciate the time this morning. We really do. Have a good holiday weekend, all right? And we'll be watching on the ACC Network, all right?
Thanks, Coach.
Hey, enjoy the season.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.